can't stand those that can.
Scripture said, with man, these things are impossible,
But with who? God, all things are possible. Amen. So our subject that we're going to deal with tonight is, what is the power of the Holy Ghost? What is the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. And I think we've been in church for a while, so we know that the Holy Ghost is power. Amen. As we go to, I'm going to come back to this 8th chapter. Let's go to Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13. We know that there's power in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Romans 15:13 reads, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in
believing."
Right? You got to do what? Believe. "That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Amen. So there is power in the Holy Ghost. It has been referred to as inherent power. The Holy Ghost is power. And the Greek word for Holy Ghost is dunamis, from which we get our English word dynamite. Right? So the Holy Ghost in action is like dynamite. Amen. That is what the Holy Ghost is, the dunamis. But the power is in the what? The Holy Ghost. So tonight we want to find out, what is the power of the Holy Ghost? Now, how many of us in grade school learned about kinetic power and potential power? Right? Those are my students. Yeah. A lot of you risk y'all learning too, y'all just forgot. Because we learned that, I believe, in the 9th or the 10th grade, if you were in New York anyway. But the Holy Ghost is potential power. Amen. Kinetic power is power in
motion,
action, right? That's kinetic. Potential power is stored power. Well, the Holy Ghost is the power in us. Our life determines whether it is going to be in action or is it going to just be potential and dormant. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is actually power in action. Now let's go back to the 8th chapter of Romans. And you know, we read the scripture all the time, but do we read each word of the scripture or do we skim through them? Now, the question is, do we read each word or do we skim through them? Amen. Now, we're going to actually go through several parts of this, but just as a thought to show you how good God is, let's go to verse 11. Now, when we're talking about the what? Holy Ghost. Before we get to the Holy Ghost, how many spirits are there? Right? We're not talking about the devil. How many spirits are there?
One.
Right? There's one spirit. Amen. So keep that in mind as we go through. The Holy Ghost is the spirit. It is the power. It's the action part of God. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, it said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God." No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's John 1. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it said, "And behold, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." But what happened? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. That was God in action. That's the Holy Ghost in action. Well, in the 11th verse read, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead," the Holy Ghost, this power raised Jesus from the dead. He said, "If this power dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also," it means to give life, amen, not death, "quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Amen. So we're dealing with the what? Spirit. With the Spirit is the what? The Holy Ghost. But it said that the Holy Ghost raised up Jesus from the dead. Now all that power that raised up Jesus from the dead, the scripture said, is where?
In us.
Think of that. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is now abiding in us. That is a miracle in itself. Amen. That raised up Jesus from the dead. And I'm just going to show you just something about raising Jesus from the dead. Let's go to John the 5th chapter. Let's hold Matthew the 27th chapter. We're talking about the power that raised him up where? From the dead. So the fifth chapter, and I don't want to read all of it, I just actually want to skip two portions of this. Let's go to verse 26 in this fifth chapter. Amen. Well, actually, verse 25. We're talking about the power that's in us now. Not only did his power raise him from the dead, but it did some other things too. And where's that power at?
In us.
Amen. So the 25th verse says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and that is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They that hear shall what?
Yes.
Shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is. Said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29 said, and shall the grave is going to what? Come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now let's go to Matthew, the 27th chapter, in verse 52. It said, they that are in the dead are going to hear his what?
Voice.
And they're going to do what? Rise. Now this, when the Holy Ghost, this is the power of God, right? Not only did it raise Jesus, but they brought a whole lot with it.
Yes.
That's the power he has read now.
Yes.
So what are the limitations? If we allow the Bible says effectually work in us. Amen. So Matthew 27:52. Now, you got to remember, when everybody considered Jesus to be an imposter, right? Even when they laid him in the tomb, they set a watch and a guard. They said, let's his disciples come by and steal his body. Right? So they tried to do everything to keep Jesus in the grave. But they didn't realize there was power beyond their power.
Yes.
Verse 52 said, and the graves were open, and many dead bodies of the saints which slept. So the power didn't just raise Jesus. But it said many of those dead saints arose. Well, why did God have to do this? Because they believed he was an imposter. And God had to prove this. And verse 53 reads, and came out of the grave after his resurrection. Why? Because Jesus went and preached to those spirits that were dead. Then when he resurrected, he brought those same saints back with him. And how do you know? He said, and they went into the holy city and appeared unto me. These were those that had been dead. So God said that we got that power working in us.
Yeah.
If that power is working in us, if it can bring back Jesus and all those dead saints, how much more will God do in us if we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh? Amen. So it's so important tonight that we realize that the power is in God. And Peter, the third chapter, 1 Peter, the third chapter, I'm going to just skip right to what we want to go to, so we get to some other scriptures. It says, verse 20 said, which sometimes, now he's talking about verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in where? Prison. Right. So there were a whole lot locked up. If you read about it, I believe it's in Luke, the 15th chapter, it talks about when Lazarus and the rich man died, the rich man went to hell, and Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. At one time, everything was in the earth because Jesus had not yet died. But the scripture says that when Jesus died, he led captivity captive. So everything that was in the grave, God brought it out with him when he went back. Amen. It says, by verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the what? Answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there is power. That power, listen, there ain't nobody else. There ain't another Muhammad or Hare Krishna or Jim Jones or David Koresh. None of them. They ain't come back. But when Jesus came back, he said, I want to prove to you who I am. All those dead saints, because I'm going to bring with me. And then they walked through the city, so the Bible said there was no doubt that something unusual had happened. Well, what had happened? The Holy Ghost. Right? The power that raised him from the dead now is dwelling in us. Now, many times we get confused with the Spirit. So now let's go to back to Romans 8 chapter. We're dealing with the Spirit of God. Now, we know there's how many spirits? One Spirit. Now, let's read a few of these verses. The second verse says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, skip down to verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now verse 7 reads, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So we're trying to allow the effectual work of power to work in us. What hinders that? The carnal mind. Because the carnal mind begins to look at the Spirit in the way that the Greeks look at it. Now, the Spirit to the Hebrews was the power of God and the presence of God in action, just like it was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. That's how the Hebrews saw it. So the Hebrews saw God as powerful and in action. The Greeks saw God just as a substance. They saw the Spirit of God just as something that was there. And that's where the doctrine of the Trinity came from. Because the Greeks saw God through the wisdom of man. And because they saw God through the wisdom of man, they saw God as a substance. And because God was a substance, they could separate him into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the Jews said, behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So the Jews said, there's no way God can be three because God is one, because he is powerful and he is all present. Amen. So there is two concepts that we're dealing with here. Paul is writing from the Hebrews, but many church leaders today are interpreting from the wisdom of man, and that's why there is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But we were proved through the scripture that they're only one. Amen. So it goes on to say in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. There's one Spirit now. Amen. If so be that the Spirit of God. So Spirit, now the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit. Wait a minute, how many spirits are there?
One.
So the Spirit is God. The Spirit of God would be the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ would be Jesus. Right? How many is there?
One.
So even though he's using these terms interchangeably, he's talking about one God. Alright? So he says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if the Christ be in you, and the body be dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of. How many spirits are there? There's only one Spirit. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Alright? We're dealing with what? How many spirits?
One
spirit. Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to go to verse 13. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we read about the Spirit, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ. But they all?
One.
They all one. But that's the Spirit. That is what is the Holy Ghost. That one Spirit. So verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12 reads, for by
one spirit
are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all made to drink into how many spirits?
One
Spirit. Now let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. So he said that how many spirits are there?
One
Spirit. All right, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and let's go start off in verse 3. We're trying to figure out exactly what is the Holy Ghost. What is this power of God? Amen. What is the power? The power is the Holy Ghost, and it is evident and working effectually in all of our lives. Amen. Hold on 1 minute. Let me see if I can find it. If not, I'll turn to my Bible. All right, let me go to the Bible real fast. I do have it here, but I'm not sure where it's at. So let me just go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now we're dealing with how many spirits?
One.
Now, they're saying the Father is separate from the Son, is separate from the Spirit, right? Well, you say you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit. But we know that how many spirits?
One.
There's only one Spirit, amen? So Ephesians, the fourth chapter, let's start off in verse 3. Do we all have that?
Yes.
Endeavor to keep the unity of the what?
Spirit.
There's only how many spirits? One in the bond of peace. There is?
One.
And how many spirits? Even as you're called in, one hope of your calling. He said there's what?
One
Lord, one faith, and one
baptism.
One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and
in all.
The Father is in us? That's what he said. One God, he is the Father of all, he's above all, through all, and he is in you all. So they said the Spirit of Christ is in us. The Holy Ghost is in us. Then it says the Father is in us. So that means they all have to be what?
One.
Because there's how many spirits?
One
Spirit. Amen. So when you don't allow God's word to speak, you can mess it up. Now, I'm going to go to a passage of scripture that we're all pretty familiar with, which is St. John's, the fourth chapter, verse 23. We're going to go to John 4, 23. Y'all ain't confused yet, right? We're trying to make it plain because we need to know what is the power of the Holy Ghost. Because if we know the power of the Holy Ghost, then God can work effectually in us. Amen. But if you don't know the power, how can God work in us? Amen. So it's so important tonight that we realize what is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me go to my Bible again, because I got so many notes that I don't even know which one to go to the Bible, where they are in the Bible. Alright? And this is something that we read quite a bit. And most of us know this pretty much by heart. Amen. It says, but verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is when the what? True worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh. So the true worshiper worshiping who? The Father. How? In spirit and in truth. Amen. Then it says, God is a
spirit,
and they that worship him must worship him in
spirit.
Now, so some of them worship the Father in spirit and truth, and some of them worship God in spirit and truth. No. They're all
one.
Right? So we know that the scripture says that we should only worship the Lord our God. Amen. If you go to Revelations, in the book of Revelations, I think it's chapter 19 and chapter 22, when John is receiving the revelation, he falls down to worship, and the angel stops and says, stop. You're supposed to worship God and God only. Right? So now Jesus is speaking and Jesus is telling us God is a spirit. And you should worship the Father. You should worship him in how? Spirit and in truth. Then it says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. How? In spirit. So if the Father wants you to worship him in spirit and truth, and God wants you to worship him in spirit and truth, then God and the Father have to be the what? One. Right? This is the power that is in us. Now, we read on Sunday, who is Jesus? God is Jesus what? Father. Right? I don't know. Y'all get confused. All right. Who's Jesus' Father? God is the what?
Father.
God the Father. Right. Now listen, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is not apostolic terms. Because they're separated God. Right? He is Father, not God the Father. He's not God the Son, he's not God the Holy Ghost. Right? But who is the Father is Jesus' Father. So the Son ain't the Father. According to the scripture. Right? Alright, let's go to Matthew the first chapter. Right? Matthew the first chapter. We're just trying to decide what is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the Father is Jesus' Father. Alright, let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Now remember that the Father is the Father.
Amen.
Alright, verse 18 actually is, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Father. She was found a child of who? But the Father is supposed to be the Father. But the child was of the? So how many fathers did he have?
One.
Right? He only had one. But she was found with the child of the? And as we read on Sunday, he said that the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And the power of the highest. So she was found with the child of the? Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost has to be the? If A equals B, let's go back to school. If A equals B, and B equals C, then A equals
C.
Right? That's the world's logic and reason. Yeah, I do remember some stuff I took in college. It didn't do me no good. All right. But if the Holy Ghost is the Father, and the Father is the Father, then the Holy Ghost has to be Father.
Amen.
Then Joseph, verse 19, her husband being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take Mary thy wife, for that thing which is conceived in her, but I thought the Father, right? The Father is supposed to be Jesus' Father. But it said, it's child of the
Holy Ghost.
And the Holy Ghost has helped her to what? Her seed. Amen. So we're trying to figure out now, what is the power of the Holy Ghost? What is the power of God? Are they separated? Are they all the same? Amen. Now let us go to verse 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We know that God is a what?
Spirit.
Now 2 Corinthians 3:17 said, now the Lord is that
spirit.
How many spirits are there?
One.
God is the Spirit. Now the Lord is a Spirit. So if God is the Spirit and the Lord is the Spirit, B, B equals C, then A equals, that means everything is all equal. There ain't no separation. Because they're all one. Now the Lord is their spirit. When the spirit of the Lord is there is what?
Liberty.
There is liberty. Amen. There is freedom. There is peace. But we have to know who the Holy Ghost is. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not separate from the Father. But the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son are all one. Amen. So it's so important that we know what is the power. We have the power in us that raised Jesus from the dead. And all our little problems, we can't conquer them. Not only did the power raise Jesus from the dead, but it brought back all those dead saints. And the Bible said God wanted to prove it. He didn't just bring them back, but they walked around the city. They walked around the holy city, and people saw them walking, so there was no doubt who the Holy Ghost was. Amen. So now we know the Lord is that what? Spirit. Now let us go to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 7. Verses 4 through 7. So Romans talks about the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ. Then 4:24 said God is a Spirit. Amen. Now Galatians 4:4 reads, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that He might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit in your hearts. He has sent forth the Spirit of who? His Son in your heart. Well, I thought the Holy Ghost is supposed to be in our hearts. Amen. Let's go to Romans 5 and verse 5. So now we have the Spirit of Christ that's in our heart. Alright? And Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Well, He just sent the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. Now he says it's the Holy Ghost is in our heart. So if Christ, how many of us, do we have a whole lot of stuff in our hearts?
Amen.
I mean, just spirit. I ain't talking about all that other stuff. We talk about the Spirit. How many spirits should we have in our hearts?
One.
So if he sent forth the Spirit of Christ to make us, whereby we cry out our Father, and then it says the love of God is shed upon our hearts by the Holy Ghost, then that means the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right? And then John 10:30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. So we're trying to figure out, what is this Holy Ghost? What is this power of God? Amen. The Holy Ghost is just God. As we said on Sunday, God is the Father in creation. He's the Son in redemption. And He's the Holy Ghost in the indwelling Spirit. God manifests Himself in each time for the need. That's why you will never see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost ever speak at the same time. Right? Because if they all spoke at the same time, then there would be more than like God. If you follow throughout the scriptures, you never find anywhere where two Gods speaking at the same time. Because there's only
one.
There's only one. Amen. So what is the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost is God in us. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And the scripture said not only did raise Jesus from the dead, but is now in us. So if that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, what are the limitations for what we should be able to do? There should be no limitation because God is in us. But in order for God to help us, the Bible says, therefore now no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So the Spirit can have the expression to perform the miracle. because we're not in the spirit, but we're walking carnally in the flesh. And the Bible says the carnal mind is what against God?
Enmity
against God. So what we do, we know the scriptures, but we don't apply the scriptures in their fullness. Can we say amen?
Amen.
We do know the scriptures, but we do not apply the scriptures in their fullness. Now, who created the worlds? God created the worlds, right? Right? God who created the worlds? God created the worlds. All right, listen. We're going to go over this last few points. Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings, the 19th chapter. We know that God created the world. We're just trying to find out, what is this Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? So 2 Kings, the 19th chapter, 15th verse, reads, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubim, thou art even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made the heavens and earth. Right? So it said, the Lord God did what? Made the heavens and the earth. Now let's go to Isaiah the 45th chapter. Just to show you how God uses terms interchangeably. But how many earths were created? How many heavens were created? But let's see how many different ones are going to create these same heavens and earth. All right, don't be going out in Mars and all the places certify nothing. Amen. Isaiah 45, 18 read, for thus saith the Lord that. So God created the heavens and earth in Genesis 1. Now the Lord created the heavens and earth in 45th chapter. God himself that formed the earth and made it. Now John 1:1-3, we all know this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things
were made.
How many things have been made?
All.
So this Word is referring to who? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word is who? Jesus. So God created the heavens and earth. Now Jesus created everything, and the Lord created everything. How many things have been created?
One.
So if Jesus did it, the Lord did it, God did it, then they all are
one.
They all are one. Amen. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 through 19. We're just trying to show you that when you read the scripture, let God speak. If you don't let God speak and you look at it according to the Greeks, now the Greek love wisdom. Right? They love philosophy. That's why Paul tells them, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the rudiments of the world and not, the wisdom of this world will blind you to the effectual working power of God in your life. Because you'll be seeing God naturally instead of spiritually. Amen. You got to see him through the Spirit. Verse 14 of Colossians 1 read, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The only one that died for us, we got redemption through his blood was who?
Jesus.
Amen. Who is he? Wait a minute. You mean the only way we want to see God is we got to see who? The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were
all things.
Wait a minute. I thought God created all things. Then Isaiah said the Lord created all things. Now they said Jesus created all things. How many worlds are there?
One.
How many heavens are there?
One.
So who created all these? Right? It said by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were. But they said God created all things. Then Isaiah said the Lord created all things. Now the scripture said Jesus created. I mean, is there a whole lot of different creations? There's only what? Because they all the one. And he is before all things, and by him all things himself, right? And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah, the 45th chapter. We're almost finished, but how many know that God did everything in his own time for a reason?
Yes.
Amen. So it's so important that we don't get lose sight of what God is doing. Isaiah, the 45th chapter, we read verse 18, but now let's go to verse 9. It reads, "Woe to them that strive with his
maker."
Who's the maker? God. Maker. "The potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work he had no hands? Woe to them that said to his father, what beginnest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of..." Well, who is the Holy One in Israel?
Jesus.
Right? Who's the Holy One in Israel? Jesus. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter. We'll show you. We're going to come back to this. "Thus saith the Lord." Now they're telling you the Lord is the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 27 reads, "Because thou art not leave my soul in hell." Who went to hell and preached?
Jesus.
Right? "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see." So who is the Holy One?
Jesus.
Right? So now let's go back to Isaiah. "So thus saith the Lord, the Holy." So the Lord is talking and Jesus is speaking to? Amen. Yes, sir. And his? That's all three of them. Right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're all speaking. "Ask me of the things that come concerning my Son and concerning the works of my hand." He said, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded." So the Holy One is Jesus, the Lord is Jesus, and the Maker is Jesus, and they all are what? They all one. Amen. Don't get confused. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I got a lot of scriptures tonight, right? It's good. I know y'all wrote them down so y'all can study them later. If you didn't write them down, I wouldn't give you a DVD. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. What I'm trying to say is we have to let God's word speak. You know, and the Bible says scripture interprets what? Scripture. Right? Here a little, there a little, line upon line, line upon line. Precept upon precept. Amen. God's word is complete. Verse 4 of this 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians reads, "As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and there is none other but
God."
There's none other God but what?
One.
Amen. Remember this. None other God but one. For there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. But to us, there is
one God.
There's only one Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord. Wait a minute, how many ones are they going to be? So it says there's one God, there's one Father, there's one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. How many?
One.
I don't care how many they make out there. It's not going to be one. All the Jews, especially the Messianic Jews, are confused. It's like, all we ever knew is that, "Behold, Israel, the Lord our God is..." So the Jews are trying to figure out how in the world did the Christian church ever get a Trinity? when there's only
one?
There's only one. They said, go back throughout the whole Old Testament, you won't never find three gods. Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's only
one.
There's only one God. And we are to worship him, and him only shall we worship. Amen. Even though there are a few other scriptures that I can go to, in the 28th chapter of Matthew, verse 19, Jesus gave the command. He said, go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the what?
Holy
Ghost. Right. But Jesus did not tell them to baptize in those titles. He said, baptize in the what? The name of is the name is what? Jesus. Jesus is the name. Amen. Matter of fact, God's name is so sacred. One of the times I believe when Jacob was dealing with the Lord, he says, what is your name? And God said, I can't tell you my name because it's secret. So the name of God has been something that they've searched out throughout the scripture. Amen. Trying to find out what is his
name.
God said, I can't tell you that now right now. It's a secret. But I will reveal it to you in time to come. Amen. So tonight, what is the power of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God. God is the Holy Ghost. And they all are
one.
Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. If his name is Jesus, then, right. I'm going to close here in this last one. These are all spiritual tongue mind twisters. All right. But let's go to St. John's 8th chapter. I'm going to read something in St. John's, the 8th chapter, and we're going to close here. Amen. St. John's 8, and let's go to verse 56, but I think I want to read a couple of verses before that. When Jesus is dealing with the Jews, and they're talking about Abraham. Amen. Now remember, before we go to John 8, let's go back to, we went over this on Sunday, to first Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Go to Genesis 17, verse 1. Then we'll come back to St. John's 8th chapter. Amen. We're just trying to figure out who is the Holy Ghost. Who is God? Who is the Lord? They all are what?
One.
No matter how many times you slice it and dice it, it ain't going to change. He's still one. Amen. So because people don't have God's Spirit, they can't understand it. Because God's big things are revealed unto us by His Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit searches the what? Deep things of God. So verse 17 of Genesis, verse 1 of Genesis 17 reads, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the what?
Lord
appeared to Abraham. Now remember that. Now let's go back to St. John's 8th chapter. St. John's the 8th chapter. Amen. I'm going to read verse 24, and then we're going to skip down to verse 52. Okay, we want to read verse 24 first of this 8th chapter. This would be our last thing to go over. All right, verse 24 read, I said therefore to you that you should die in your sin, for you believe not that
I am.
What? Now, when the Jews are here and talk about I am, where did the name I am come from? Moses at the what? Burning bush. He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am that I am. Now, this I am here is the same I am. You can cross references and do your own checking later. This is the same I am as God when he spoke to Moses. So, Jesus says, I am he. All right. Now let's go down to verse 52 of the same chapter. He's talking to the who? Jews. Now Jews did not believe like the Greeks or the Gentiles. The Jews knew their history. When the Jews heard I am, they said, whoa, you're saying that you are God. you're saying you're God? We said, we know who I am is. Right? We know I am. Amen?
Yes.
So verse 52 reads, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Right? Abraham is dead, and the prophet, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never take it. Listen, you got a devil. Because he didn't get it. Alright? Art thou greater than our father, Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? And who? You try to see you, God. He said, oh, you got a devil. Something's wrong with you, right? Who makes thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. He said, but I know him and keep your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw him, he was. Think about that. He said, your father, Abraham, saw my day, and he rejoiced and was. He was glad. So when did Abraham see Jesus? When did he see him? Because the Lord appeared unto Abraham. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. In the 17th chapter of Genesis, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And in the 22nd chapter, when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, behold, there was a ram caught in the bush by the thickets. So Jesus tells him, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see. Well, Jesus wasn't alive until no, Jesus was alive way before that. Jesus is only alive in the New Testament to be our Redeemer. But he's always existed. He's always been there. And so has the Holy Ghost always existed. And always, they've always been there. But let's just finish here. Let you know, they got kind of really besides themselves. Now, he said, verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and how see you and you see Abraham? Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was,
I am.
He said before Abraham ever was. Well, who is I am? I am was in a burning bush. He said, Moses said, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Amen. So who is Jesus? Amen. He always was. A lot of people believe that Jesus was Melchizedek in the Old Testament. Because remember in Psalm the 10th chapter, he said he's after the order of Melchizedek. He had no mother, no father, no beginning, no ending, Melchizedek. Right, so they believe that many of the appearances, the theophanies in the Old Testament of Melchizedek were really Jesus. Because Jesus is a high priest after the order of?
Jesus.
Amen, that's better than hell is sin. All right, that gives y'all something to go study. Amen, because we want to walk in the Spirit as he's in the, because if we walk in the flesh, we cannot please. So what is the Holy Ghost? Brought Jesus from the dead, brought all those dead saints back with the dead in us. We have power, but the reason that the power does not work effectively in us is because we have not developed the spiritual mind to believe that if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. So many times we will hear God's promises and blessings, and we would be excited until somebody tells us God don't work like that. You have to believe God for yourself. Amen. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So all only our sins are forgiven, His blood has to be shed. Who's the only one that ever died for us?
Jesus.
See, that's why baptism in Jesus' name is right up, man.
Come on, let's say amen.